Okay, good morning, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. The weeks go quickly, and even though this class is every other week, here we are again. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, moving through the month of Elul quite rapidly as we prepare for Yemei Hadin. All our learning takes on a new tone, if you will, and has more impact and more meaning. So we are going to continue our learning. Our collective thanks very much to our hosts and sponsors who want to remain anonymous, but we appreciate their dedication to this year very, very much. Amei brings chosim and simchas to them and their whole family. Be'ezros Hashem. And eschus for all the women who take the time, Erev Shabbos, to join this year. So we are, if you recall from last time, if you weren't here, it's okay. I'm going to tell you where we were. If you recall from last time, we are learning the biography of Avram Avinu from the Rambam. Why? Because the page we are up to in Rav Shimshon, Rav Shimshon Pinkus' Sefer on Shabbos Kodesh speaks about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the patriarchs, on page 28, and he notes how we see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and we wonder to ourselves, who made all of this? Which is extremely reminiscent to me when I was preparing of the biography of Avraham Avinu. It's Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim, Perak Aleph. We left off in the middle of last time of Halacha Gimel, which we are going through. So I'm going to start to screen share. I made a note for myself last time where we left off, and we're going to go back to where we were so that we can continue it together. So can you see my screen? Okay, very good. So let me just move you down here so you can see where we are. So we are learning Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim, Halacha Gimel. And last time we learned about Avraham Avinu, we got about halfway through this halacha. And the Rambam here presents an amazing biography of Avraham Avinu, the Baal Emuna par excellence, who imbued Emuna into all of us. How? Because the Rambam writes that Avraham Avinu looked up at the heavenly bodies. He looked at the earth. And he said, is it possible that this whole earth, this whole Galgal goes and there's no manhig, there's no one who made it, it just came here by itself? Like Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, if you see a light bulb in your ceiling, do you think to yourself, the light bulb just got here by itself? Or do you realize that somebody put it here? So even though Avraham Avinu grew up amongst idol worshippers, and the Rambam told us his mother was an idol worshipper, his father was an idol worshipper, and he worshipped along with them, he realized the whole time that something was wrong. And this was not the path of truth. And there had to be a different way. We left off exactly here. I made a note for myself that I left in my safer on the sticky. We ended by quoting Parachof Aleph Pasuk Lamed Gimel of Sefer Bereishis as the Rambam does. Okay, so if you recall, Avraham Avinu went, and this is continuing the recap from last time, and then we're going into new material. He went and he called in a great voice to the whole world, and he let everybody know that there is one God, and it is only worthy to worship this one God, and he would go and call and gather people, meir le'ir, from city to city, umimamlacha lemamlacha, from kingdom to kingdom, until he came to Eretz Kenaan, and there he called in the name of Hashem, the God of the world. We're up to this world, Vikevan. Okay? I made a bracha right before we started. Some of you are already here. So, Avraham Avinu makes it to the land of Canaan, and the name of God is proclaimed throughout the world through him. We're up to the word Kevan. The Kevan Shahayu Ha'am Mitkabtsin Elav, because nations, people would gather around him, Visho Alino, and they had questions. They would ask him questions. Al Devarav, they asked him, you know, what are you talking about? We don't understand. Please explain. Haya Modia Lachal Achad Ve'achad Kafidato. He let every person, he helped, or he explained it to every person according to their level. So he made sure that he explained it and made people aware of the Ribbono Shel Olam, everyone according to their level, Ad Sheyachzi Rehu LeDerech HaEmes, until he returned people to the proper path. This is amazing. The Rambam's Mishnah Torah is really a halachic work. It is a fascinating sojourn into the life of Avraham Avinu. Without this writings of the Rambam, we really would not know much about the beginning of the life of Avraham Avinu, because the Torah does not tell us any of this. And the Rambam really fills us in and teaches us how Avraham Avinu came to be aware of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be aware of God, and to believe in him. And so he would gather people, he would teach everyone according to their level, until he returned them to the path of truth. Ad sheniskabtu elav alafim urevavos, until thousands and myriads of people gathered to him. Behem anshei beis Avraham. And this is what we call the people who were of the household of Avraham. Vishasa belibam ha'ikur ha'gadol hazan. He implanted into their hearts this very great principle. What principle? That there is one God, and it is worthy to worship this one God. V'chiber bo sfarim. Isn't that interesting? The Rambam writes that Avraham Avinu was a mechaber sfarim. He composed books on the matter, texts, scrolls. So I just want to take a tangent, having done that one sentence. I'm quoting from this biography in a lot of my shiurim. I highly recommend it, Rav Noach Weinberg. If you haven't been inclined to get it yet from hearing me quote in past year, maybe today you will, Rav Noach Weinberg by Yonasan Rosenblum. So the line that we just read about Avraham Avinu, really about him bringing the knowledge of God, the idea of Hashem, Amuna Bahashem, to the masses. That's what we're reading about here. He goes from city to city, from kingdom to kingdom, from land to land, till he gets to the land of Canaan, and he gathers myriads and thousands of people around him called the Anshei Beis Avraham, the members of the household of Avraham Avinu, and he writes Svarim, and he implants in their heart this main ikra, this very great principle. So it's not enough to keep our Amuna and our Yediyah to ourselves. But this Avraham Avinu could have just kept them to himself. He wanted to share it with everybody else. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe famously said, if you know Aleph, go teach Aleph. The sentence people think they don't have what to share with someone who doesn't know about Yehadus. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, if all you know is Aleph, then teach Aleph. Everybody has something to share with someone else. So I want to quote from this biography. 1 second, there was a comment. Oh, very nice. So someone actually bought the book because I've been recommending it repeatedly in other classes. Good. Okay, so this reading about Avram reminded me of Rav Noach Weinberg, and you're going to hear he specifically talks about Avram Avinu in here. So I could not have prepared this better than Hashem helping me find the exact right page that I was looking for. Only with the redemption of Klal Yisrael, only with the redemption of the Jewish nation and the ingathering of the exiles will the Chilul Hashem, the profanation of God's name, be removed from the world. And this will only happen when Klal Yisrael does Teshuvah, returns unto Hashem. This is also relevant to Elul. The theme of Elul, of course, is the month of Teshuvah. Rav Shlomo Wolbe Zatzal, who known as the Ali Shur, the famous Mashgiach, was one of the most forceful proponents of Kiruvok within the Israeli Torah community. Rav Wolbe frequently pointed out, Mashiach will not come until all Jews do Teshuvah. And therefore, Rav Wolbe, the Ali Shur, felt everyone who is capable must participate in efforts to help their fellow Jew come closer to God. To refuse to exert yourself to reach out to fellow Jews, to bring them close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, is to despair of the coming of Mashiach, which is one of the fundamental beliefs in our religion. So it's not enough that I believe in Hashem, and it's not enough that I study. I must ensure that others believe in Hashem and that others study. Rav Noach Weinberg, was not breaking new ground. He was the founder and Rosh Yeshiva of Eish HaTorah, which went from a small yeshiva and has evolved into a worldwide movement. Rav Noach was not breaking new ground when he railed against the indifference of too many in the Torah community to the near total alienation of most Jews from Torah. In 1905, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a pamphlet called Chizuk HaDa'as, The Strengthening of the Religion. And the Chafetz Chaim lamented, this was in 1905, the rapid decline of religious observance in his time, and the proliferation of spiritual fires. Could you imagine? That was in 1905. So we don't realize, because typically we think of Europe on the Alter Heim as everyone was perfect in there. I'm not trying to speak Lashon Hara, Chas V'Sham. I'm pointing out that this problem of moving away from the Ribbono Shel Olam is not a new problem in America, even though it has reached levels that are unprecedented. In 1905, the Chafetz Chaim lamented in his pamphlet, Chizuk HaDa'as, about the rapid decline of religious observance in his own time, and the proliferation of spiritual fires. The increase in, quote, flagrant depravities, the Chafetz Chaim wrote, is a raging fire that seeks to destroy all good. Be called upon, 1905, every religious Jew to do everything in his power to return non-religious Jews to Hashem. So this really, you could see this, if you have this biography, I'm quoting from page 127 to 128, really reminds me of what we are learning about Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu could have kept the Yediyah of Hashem, the knowledge of God, the Emunah of Hashem, the faith in God, to himself. It would have been enough, but we see it was not enough. The Rambam tells us that he went from city to city, province to province, kingdom to kingdom, place to place, making sure that others knew about Hashem. How? Call echad echad kafi dato, making sure that everyone knew according to their level of understanding. As Rav Noach would do almost 70 years later, the Chafetz Chaim primarily focused on kiruv as a mitzvah bein adam lamakom. Kiruv, rechokim, bringing those who are far back to Hashem, like Avram did, is a mitzvah bein adam lamakom, a mitzvah between man and God. Or, he begins by quoting the Rambam on the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. And the Rambam includes in this mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, love of God. The Rambam writes, our Mishnah Torah that we are learning, the Rambam writes, it is an obligation to call upon all men to serve the most exalted one and to believe in him. So this is something, I know the Shabbos project is coming up. This year will be very different. They're preparing pamphlets to give people, actually it's relevant to our show. They're preparing pamphlets that people will be able to use or read in their homes as like Shabbos candles. I only know because they asked me to give a submission. Rabbi Warren Goldstein, I believe, is the chief rabbi in South Africa. So this year the Shabbos project will be very different, but they're still trying to bring Shabbos into the homes of affiliated and non-affiliated Jews. And it's our responsibility, the Rambam writes, if you love Hashem, to call upon all men to serve God, the most exalted one, and to believe in him. The Chafetz Chaim quotes the Sifri. And the Sifri teaches, Va'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, it's the words we say in the Kriya Shema every day from Devarim 6:5. You shall love Hashem your God. So are you ready for this? The Sifri explains, Va'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, you shall love Hashem your God, refers to Avram Avinu. So I could not make this up. Here we are, learning this piece of Avram Avinu. Why? Because of Shimshon Pinchas speaks about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the founders of our religion. And Rav Pinchas says that you can't look at the sun, the moon, and the stars and say, no one created this, which is exactly what the Rambam writes about Avram Avinu. And we are learning that Avram Avinu felt that you have to bring others back to Hashem. It's not enough for you to know God. It's not enough for you to believe. It's not enough for you to love Hashem. Others must love Hashem as well. And this biography that I'm currently reading about, Rav Noach Weinberg, really brings home this idea very strongly. And on this page, he quotes the Rambam, where the Rambam writes, if you love Hashem, you must bring others back to God. And the Chafetz Chaim would quote the Sifri, who teaches, Va'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem your God. This refers to Avram Avinu, Avram Ohavi, Avram who loves me. Why did Avram merit the title, Avram Ohavi, Avram who loves me? The Chafetz Chaim explains, you know why? Because he called on others to serve Hashem. It's not enough for me to love Hashem. It's not enough for me to be connected to God. I have to make sure others do as well. From this, the Chafetz Chaim derives that one demonstrates love of Hashem if you get others to call unto Hashem. So next time you say, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, have in mind the interpretation of the Sifri, which is this is referring to Avram, the beloved of God. Why was he called the beloved of God, the lover of God? Because Avram brought others close to Ribbono Shel Olam as well, which is exactly what we are learning here. The Chafetz Chaim proposed a litmus test to determine if one is doing everything he can to squelch the raging fires destroying religious observance. A person should consider how much time he would spend planning and consulting with others if something taking place in the community threatened his business. When we do not expend the same energy and money to devise plans to save our fellow Jews from spiritual oblivion, we demonstrate, the Chafetz Chaim wrote, how indifferent we are to God's honor. And there is no end to this disgrace. And Rav Noach will tell this over frequently, this teaching of the Chafetz Chaim that relates to Avram Ohavi, Avram who loved God, by bringing the light of God to other people. Rav Noach liked to quote a mashal of the Dubno Magid. So if you listen to Rav Shai Shechter Shirim, you will hear that he very often quotes the Mashalim of the Dubno Magid. So Rav Noach liked to quote one of the Mashalim of the Dubno Magid as follows. Here we go. Mashal of the Dubno Magid. A wealthy man had two sons. Comment, one second. That's a very good question. Does giving tzedakah to kiruv organizations count? That's an excellent question. First of all, I can't paskin halachically anything. That's for sure. So we have to ask a rav. Second of all, in this time, it's probably very, very hard, even harder than usual with this pandemic, because we can't associate with people firsthand. We can't invite people over to our homes. There's a distance between people. But that's an interesting question. Does Kiruv Rechokim, to give tzedakah to such organizations, count as doing your part to bring others close to Hashem? So it's a total lay opinion and it's an assumption, but I would think in some degree, absolutely yes, because without that money, without those funds, those organizations could not do Kiruv Rechokim. I'll tell you, in this biography, there's a whole paragraph, there's a whole chapter on Eish.com, on the power and effectivity of Eish.com. And we have someone who learns in one of my other shirim with me who is on the process of coming back to Hashem and becoming a Chozeres B'tshuva. And she tells us all the time how much she learns from Eish.com. So if Eish does not have the money to run their website, I'm using one example of one person I know firsthand. She just told me this week I live on Eish.com. And she's trying to become fully observant and she's working very hard to have her kosher kitchen. And she's really trying to come back to Hashem. So I think if... yes, it's Meisr, and yes, it's tzedakah, but specifically, if they don't have the funds, then how can they operate? So if I don't feel I can do the kirov, I'm paying someone else to do the kirov, I would think yes, but I am not a rav. That's my power of deduction. That seems to be, to me, it would make sense. That's very true. We do have partners in Torah. That's a very good point. That's a beautiful idea. There's partners in Torah, which anybody can do. I know many women who learn with me do partners in Torah once a week. They learn with a non-affiliated woman. That's absolutely correct. You are right. So I'm going back to the Mashal of the Dubna Magid, okay? As quoted by Rav Noach. A wealthy man had two sons. One was rich and one was poor. The father had a milestone birthday, this wealthy father coming up, and he wrote to the rich son, who lived a considerable distance away from him. He wanted to bring the whole family together to celebrate his birthday, and he, the father, would cover all the expenses in so honoring him. When the day of the grand celebration arrived, the rich brother and his family all appeared dressed in the finest clothing, while the poor brother and his family arrived in tatters, rags. At the conclusion of the festivities, the rich brother presented his father with a large bill incurred for his travel and his new wardrobe. His father, however, refused to pay. "I told you I would reimburse you for everything you did to honor me," said the father. "But none of what you did was to honor me. Rather, it was to honor yourself. Had you sought to honor me, you would have ensured your poor brother and his family were also elegantly attired." And I've heard of Shai Shachter say about the mashalim of the Dubno Magid that they are very holy mashalim with tremendous lessons. So here Rav Noach would quote this often. The rich brother bought himself new clothing, not because he wanted to honor the father, but because he himself wanted to look opulent and splendorous for his own honor. If it was really for the honor of his father, he would have made sure his poor brother was outfitted similarly. So what's the nimshal? The nimshal is very obvious, like Avraham Avinu. If we really love the Ribono Shel Olam, then we have to bring our fellow Jews back to Hashem. Is it just for my honor, or for the honor of the king? Very, very powerful. So we see that this is what Avraham Avinu did very clearly. He took it upon himself as his life mission to bring an awareness of God back to the world. V'hodiya li Yitzchak b'no. Were there any further comments? No. And he made it known to Yitzchak his son. V'yashav Yitzchak. So we're almost finished, as you could see, this halacha of the Rambam. So Avraham Avinu passed on to Yitzchak his son, V'yashav Yitzchak, and Yitzchak sat, Malamed Umazir. Yitzchak would learn, Yitzchak would teach, Yitzchak would warn, Yitzchak would further this agenda, if you will, of Yediyas Hashem and Ahavas Hashem. V'yitzchak hodiyah le'Yaakov, and Yitzchak let it be known to his son Yaakov, u'minahu le'lamed, and he appointed him to learn, v'yashav me'lamed u'machzik kol ha'nevilim elav. And not only that, but he made sure that Yaakov would sit, and he would learn, and he would strengthen all those who would accompany him, everyone who was around him. So you see that the family of Avram, from the beginning of time, did not keep the knowledge of God themselves. They made sure that others knew as well, which has to be our tafka, the whole way that we live, the whole way that we act, the whole way that we behave needs to bring the knowledge of God to others as well. The Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Shabavos, and Yaakov, our forefather, Limeid Banav, he taught his sons, Kulam, all of them. V'hivdil Levi, but furthermore, he separated Levi, who had a different tafkid. U'minahu Rosh, he appointed Levi as the spiritual head. V'hoshivu b'yeshiva, and he sat him in a yeshiva. L'lami derech Hashem, to learn the way of God. V'lishmer mitzvos Avram, and to keep the command of Avram Avinu. Again, it's not chas v'shalom a fairy tale. This is not a storybook. We're learning through this piece of the Rambam. And without this piece of the Rambam, we would not know how the Masorah came from Avraham Avinu to us. So Yaakov taught all of his sons, but Levi had a special tafkin, that he was in charge of sitting in the yeshiva to learn the way of God, to be very careful in guarding the commands on the mitzvos and the teachings of Avram. Vitziva es banav shelo yafsiku b'mnei Levi mimuna achar mimuna. And he commanded his children that there should not cease to be from the sons of Levi somebody else appointed. So Levi should be in charge of the spiritual life of the people, which they were. Moshe and Aaron were from Levi. The Kohanim are from Shevet Levi. Kedei shelo tishka chalimut. So that the teachings would not be forgotten. So we see that our Rabbanim have a very important tafkid. Our leaders, our teachers have a very important tafkid to carry on this lineage and this destiny, that the teachings of Avraham Avinu should not be forgotten. V'haya hadavar ha-ramas damat disal malacha. V'haya hadavar ho-lech u-miskaber b'vnei Yaakov u-vanil vim aleihem. And this matter was going and strengthening amongst the children of Yaakov and those who accompanied them. V'naaseis ba'olam uma. Shehi Yodas Es Hashem. And through this path, it came to be that there was one nation in the world, meaning the Jewish people, that knew God. And today, when we look at the world, if we feel like we are living in a time of Avraham Avinu, Rachman Alatzlan, where there is no godly awareness, doesn't seem to be, and the world around us, but there is one nation that knows that there is a Ribon Shalom. There's one nation who looks at the light bulb in the ceiling and says, it can't be that the light bulb just got here by itself. There's one nation who looks at yourself and you recognize, says Reb Pinkas, you have an eyes, a finger, a brain. You see the sun, the moon, the stars. We are the Bnei Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov. And this is the Mesorah that our forefathers gave us. However, what happens in Galus? Now he talks about Galus Mitzrayim, the Rambam, but you see in Rav Noach Weinberg biography, the Chavetz Chaim spoke about it in the Galus in Europe. And today, the Rav Noach Weinberg was battling the Galus of Western cultures, the Galus of the American mentality. And it started from Egypt. Ad she'archu hayamim liYisrael b'Mitzrayim, until the days lengthened, and Israel was in Egypt for such a long time. And we know in Egypt, they were on the 49th level of Tumah. And God, God not taking us out, we would still be enslaved to Paro. We say that at the Pesach Seder. And the Jew in Egypt returned to learning the ways of the Egyptians and worshipping stars, in other words, straying from the path of Hashem. In Egypt, we know that Levi did not do the physical labor, did not do the enslavement, but that we could also say, based on this piece of the Rambam, that perhaps we understand that Levi was not involved in spiritual enslavement. The Rambam is saying that what happens when we go down to Galus, Rachmana Litzlan, is that we start to learn the ways of the Ummah Sa'olam who live around us. We learn from the ways of the Ummah Sa'olam who live around us. And we start to forget. And this is what happened in Egypt. They started to worship idols once again, just like the Egyptians. Except for Shevet Levi, who stood in the mitzvos of the commands and the ways of his forefathers. So I think this adds a beautiful ha'ara. We know that Levi was not involved in the physical enslavement, the physical shibur. Perhaps that's a metaphor for telling us he wasn't involved in the spiritual enslavement as well. Umei olam lo avad Shevet Levi avodas kochavim. And the tribe of Levi never worshipped idols. We see that by Chet Ha'egel, Parshas Ki Tisa, Perek Lam, the base of the book of Shmos. The Bnei Israel construct an idol, and they worship the idol. And when Moshe comes down from a mountain and he's horrified, who gathers around him to take revenge against the people? Bnei Levi. The tribe of Levi never worshipped idols. V'kim at ka taya ha'ikar shesasal Avram ne'akar v'cholzim Bnei Yaakov v'ta'usa olam u'tiyusan. And slowly, slowly, this ikar, this mainstay, this, how do you translate ikar? This foundational element of belief that Avraham Avinu planted in his descendants, The Bnei Yaakov started to make mistakes in the world, and they started to be led astray. And we were almost lost. What saved us? Umei Havas Hashem Osanu. And you're going to see on the next page, which we're going to be to very shortly, Bli Neder of Shimshon Pinkus talks about God's love for us. And that's what the Rambam says here, that God loves us. Umishamro es Hashfua La'Avram Avinu. And God kept his part of the covenant that he swore to our patriarch Avram. And Hashem did not want to let us disappear into oblivion through idol worship. Therefore, Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban shall call the Nevi'im. God sent us Moshe Rabbeinu, the father, the master, the rabbi of all Nevi'im Ushlacho, and God's messenger. So the Rambam writes here that in Egypt we were in dire spiritual straits. We are on the Mem Tashari Tumah. Had Hashem not taken us out at that minute, we would have been totally lost. That's what it means. Would we still be physical slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt? I have no idea, but there would probably not be a Knesset Yisrael anymore had God not taken us out of Egypt. But because he swore to our patriarch Abraham, says the Rambam, that he would never let us go, that we would be like the stars in the heaven, Hashem, because he loves us, kept the pact of Ram Avinu. And he gave us Moshe Rabbeinu, who was his shaliach. Kevan shenisna be Moshe Rabbeinu, ubachar Hashem Yisrael anachala. Moshe Rabbeinu had nevuah, and God chose Israel as his portion and his inheritance. Hichtirim b'mitzvos v'odiyam derech avodosom. So Moshe Rabbeinu brought us back the crown of mitzvos, and he taught us the way of serving Hashem. U'mayyeh mishpat avodoscha. Oh, okay. And then he continues. This was just the biography of Avraham Avinu, which is in Perek Aleph. Chapter 2 begins the halachos. We are not going into that. So we see that Hashem loves us very much. But what we learn from here is how fundamental is the responsibility of every Jew. That if we recognize Hashem like Avram, it's not enough for me to recognize and love God. I must make sure that my fellow Jew also recognizes and loves God. I'm not a kira specialist at all. However, a couple of points were brought out. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, if you know Aleph, go teach Aleph. I like what somebody said. Everyone can do partners in Torah. And also supporting Kirov organizations. That's Yisachar Zvulun partnership. I would venture to say, Rivka, if you ask Oshayda, let us know. Let me know. But I venture to say, yes, Yisachar and Zvulun means, Yisachar sits and learns. How does Zvulun get a portion of that Torah? By supporting the Torah financially. So how do we get a portion in Kirov? H.com can't run if people don't support the organization that brings the experts the ability to reach those unaffiliated. So I think that it's very, very important, the points that were brought out here. Going back to Shimshon Pinkus' Sefer. So we are page 28. Okay? The last thing we read was faith in Hashem. Faith in Hashem is Avraham Avinu. How is it possible not to believe in Hashem? I mean, that's why we went to this whole biography of Avraham Avinu. You notice a fluorescent lamp in the ceiling. Did it just come here by itself? You see the sun, the moon, and the stars, as Avraham Avinu did. Can it just come there by itself? Obviously, there was someone who made all of this. David HaMelech exclaims, I'm on the bottom of page 28. If I go up to heaven, you are there. Pasuk from Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Lametes. If I go up to heaven, God, you are there. And if I lie to rest in the netherworld, you are there. So where is Hashem? Everywhere. And God's kindness surrounds us at every moment. And that's a challenge for us to remember that. That even when we don't see Hashem's kindness revealed, Hashem is there all the time surrounding us. We go through challenges. We go through difficulties. Avraham Avinu was tested with 10 tests. Doesn't mean Hashem's kindness wasn't there. Or does he blaze the trail for all of us to withstand our nisyonos, knowing that Hashem is there? Indeed, it is extremely difficult not to believe in Hashem. How could a person not believe in Hashem? Top of page 29, love of Hashem. So I told you, you saw in the Rambam at the end of that halacha that Hashem saved us from Ovodos Kochavim in Egypt. Hashem saved us from Galus because he loved us. Love of Hashem. So we just spoke about faith and Muna. Love of Hashem. How is it possible not to love Hashem? Just like it's not possible to not believe in God, how could you not love God? Imagine someone who has a very wealthy father. I'm quoting from Shimshon Pinkus, Shabbos Kodesh, top of page 29. Imagine someone has a very wealthy father. The Dubna Magid actually just gave us a mashal about someone who has a wealthy son. In this case, someone has a very wealthy father. When he needs to marry off his children, the father says, "Do not worry, I will pay for the apartment." When the father finds out the son needs a car, he buys him the latest model. The father is also a world-class physician. Not only is he wealthy and he could afford everything the son needs, but he's a world-class doctor. And when his grandson falls ill and the hospital diagnoses the baby with a severe heart disease, the grandfather, the doctor, the world-class physician, heals him. In short, this father solves any problem that can possibly arise, providing for all of his son's needs immediately. This type of father is loved dearly. We would only want to give him a kiss and a hug and tell him how wonderful he is. Now, says Rav Pinchas. So in other words, the nimshal of that is Hashem does everything for us. Hashem is the healer, the rofei cholim. Hashem is the builder, bonei brachim rav Yerushalayim, amen. Hashem is the redeemer. What does Hashem not do for us? So just like it's impossible not to believe in God, isn't it impossible not to love Hashem? How could you not love Hashem? He gives you everything. He is the Father. Says Rav Pinchas, now we all believe our lives come from Hashem. We all believe that. You wake up in the morning. Sometimes at night, now I lay me down to sleep. If I can't fall asleep, because I think of Nisyonos and this and the world and the COVID pandemic and politics and personal concerns. Maybe that doesn't happen to you, then it's a bracha. I always think of Avraham Avinu. It didn't happen to him. Vayashkim Avram Baboker. No matter what happened in Avraham Avinu's life, he had to send away Hagar in the morning. He was able to go to sleep. He had to go to the Akedah. He was able to go to sleep. Okay, Sodom and Amor were being destroyed. He was able to go to sleep. It's perfect emuna. They said about Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal that he had such a high degree of emuna. It was never a problem in not falling asleep. Okay, so Michal Eretz isn't like that. So I started something new. And it's very, very interesting because I find it really helps me very, very much. So if I have concerns and I'm having trouble sleeping, I think to myself, I'm going to lay here and say everything that I have to be thankful for to Hashem. So I say, thank you, Hashem, for this bed. I literally say that. And if I wake up to use the facilities, I say, thank you, Hashem, that my body knows, but it needs to wake up. And I'm able to get off the bed, and I'm able to use the facilities by myself, and I'm able to come back. And thank you, Hashem, for the roof over my head. And thank you, Hashem, for the family that I have. And thank you, Hashem, and I go on, that my lungs are clear, and then I can breathe. And you know what? I fall asleep. Because instead of focusing on the panic, yes, politics, it's very scary right now. I'm sure you all saw that there was a stabbing in Eretz Yisrael 2 days ago. Rabbi Shai Ohayan, 39 years old, was stabbed to death outside in the afternoon, broad daylight, waiting for a bus in Petach Tikva. 39 years old, four orphans, four Yisomim and an Omana. The oldest is 13. 13, 11, 9, and 4. So we have our concerns for Knesset Yisrael. We have our individual concerns. But when you start to focus on, I literally, Hashem should give me an Ein Hara that I brought this up, but maybe it could help someone else. Maybe you're like, not like me, and you don't have problems with these things, but thank you, Hashem, I could breathe. Thank you for my bed. Thank you for my pill. Thank you for the air condition, I said last night. Thank you for this home. Thank you for food. Thank you that my children help me prepare for Shabbos, whatever it is. Then you start focusing on really what you're saying is Hashem loves me. Like this mashal, the father who gives a child everything. The father pays for the car. The father heals the grandson. This type of father would obviously be loved so dearly because he loves you so dearly. So how could you not love Hashem? Just like how could you not believe in Hashem? How could you not love Hashem? So we all believe our lives come from Hashem, says Rav Pinchas. Our livelihood comes from Hashem. Our children come from Hashem. Our every breath, kol haneshama, tahalel kahaleluka. Every soul, praise God. What does Chazal say? Kol haneshima tahalaka. With every breath, we should praise God. Take an extreme example. This is obviously very extreme. Imagine a speaker ascends to the podium. This is going to sound silly because it's not going to happen, but imagine a speaker ascends to the podium and suddenly his ears fall off. Who keeps a person's ears in place? Hashem. So I know it sounds very drastic, but I'll tell you what happened to me last fall. Last fall, I flew out to LA for the YULA Girl Shabbaton. I was flying out. I was in LA for less than 48 hours, just over a Shabbos. And I was leaving Thursday, right after my morning class, and I lost my voice. So while the speaker's ears are not going to stand fall off at the podium, because Hashem ensures they stay there, I woke up Thursday morning with almost no voice. I was able to get my Thursday morning show with a microphone, and I managed to not have voice. I couldn't talk. And I'm going to LA to be the speaker at the YULA Girls Shabbaton, and I can't speak. So while my ears aren't going to fall off, it's very, very possible that your voice could suddenly disappear. You could be the speaker, and I can't talk. It was very jarring. It was very frightening. It was very sobering. So what did I do? I didn't talk for 24 hours. From the minute I finished my shiur Thursday, my first shiur in LA, noon on Friday in the airport, I didn't talk off. I had to tell someone something. I typed it on my phone so they could see. I didn't open my mouth. Ricolas, honey tea, and a lot of tefillah. So Baruch Hashem, I got my voice back. But that could happen. Suddenly you could be the speaker and your voice gives way. It happened to me. True story. So what does we have to realize? Who keeps a person's ears in place? Hashem. Who makes sure a person's nose doesn't fall off? Hashem. Who makes sure a person could speak? Ribbono shel Olam. It's one of the things you could then be thankful for. My eyes, my voice. Who keeps us alive? God. How is it possible not to love Hashem? So just like Avraham Avinu teaches us, it's impossible, excuse me, not to believe faith in Hashem. So Pinchas says, how could you not love Hashem when you contemplate He's your loving Father who gives you everything? Could you not love Hashem? What would we have without Him? The answer, of course, is nothing. So I want to quote from the Sefer Living Amuna 3, Rabbi David Ashir. One second. Malayda 2, what we are speaking about now. This chapter is called Hashem is Always There. When the Jewish people lacked water in the Midbar, in the wilderness, they asked the question, Hayesh Hashem bikir beinu im ayin? Is Hashem in our midst or not? Shemot 17:7. This is Parshas Beshalach. Right before Melchamas Amalek, by the way. And this week we read about Zechiras Amalek. The people were thirsty. They weren't getting what they needed. They thought Hashem had left them. And the Mechaber of David Ashir, the author, writes, this is a feeling many people have when hardships befall them. Sometimes we go through very significant nisyonos, and a person's natural tendency might be to say, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin? Is God not with us anymore? However, what did Hashem answer the Jewish people? Rashi on the following pasuk says, Hashem responded, Tamid ani beinechem, Tamid ani beinechem. I am always, Tamid, amongst you. I am always prepared to help you with all you need. So it might appear to us, Rachmana Letzlan, that Hashem is not with us. It might appear. The person who was murdered this week in Eretz Yisrael, talking about Avraham Avinu, Kachnas, Pinchas, Yechidcha, Sharahabdas, Yitzchak, he had already purchased his ticket to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. He was waiting to see if the government would give permission for them to fly. He would give lectures to the people in his town. There's a picture of him, of one of his sons, Brisin, with Harav Avadia Yosef, who was holding the baby. Maybe he was a tzaddik, I'm not sure. Sometimes we think Hashem is not with us. But Rashi says, Hashem says, Tamid ani beinechem. I'm always there. And I'm always prepared. Umezuma nechol tzarchechem, like what Pinchas says. Who pays the doctor bill? Who buys the car? Who pays for the apartment? Who paid the wedding? Who healed the child? I'm always there. Hashem writes, Rabbi Ashir is always with us. He's always helping. We don't always know what we need, but God does. When we think Hashem is leaving us, it's His way of bringing us closer to Him. And isn't that what Hashem says to Avraham Avinu after that Kedah? We just spent two classes learning about the faith of Avraham Avinu. Hashem says to Avram, after this, your 10th and final, and most trying Nisayon, Ata yadati ki yare Elokim ata, lo chasach des bincha. Now I know you are God-fearing. In other words, every Nisayon brings us closer and higher to being a God-fearing, God-loving Jew. And after the 10th Nisayon, Hashem told Avram Avinu, now I know you're God-fearing. So continues the author, a man told me a couple of years ago, he was in a major car accident, lo aleinu. His car was totaled, but he walked out miraculously without a scratch. He was very shaken up. He could not take his mind off of this incident. Excuse me. At that time, he was not observant. He didn't keep Shabbos. He didn't keep kosher. He never went to shul. The Shabbos after the accident, he decided to go to Beit Knesset. He chose one at random. And not knowing the schedule, he just chose the synagogue. He walked in a few minutes before 9 o'clock. So someone in the hallway told him the main minion started davening almost an hour earlier, but another one was starting in the back. So this man who survived this car crash, who was not observant, chose a random shul. That day, the rabbi of that minion made a speech, and the drasha was about Hashem talking to us through life's occurrences and how He sends us messages, wanting us to come close to Him. And the man told me, writes Rabbi David Ashir, I felt like I was in the room alone with that rabbi. I felt like he was speaking exactly to me. His whole speech was about how Hashem prepares us in life to come closer to Him, and He sends us messages. And that rabbi must have known everything that happened to me. The man accepted upon himself to improve. Achozer b'tshuva, it's alol. He is observant today. It looked like Hashem was abandoning him in his car accident, but Hashem was really pushing him onto the proper path. He was with him the whole time, bringing him close. Hashem is always helping us, whether we realize it or not. And sometimes we don't realize it. Sometimes we have to struggle to see it. Sometimes we have to look very hard. Sometimes we need to dive into Hashem to open our eyes. That's very true. It is a painful lesson because life is often a painful process. We all go through it. Soloveitchik says, quote, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. There was a storm last night. I didn't even realize I was in shir. We go through the storms of life, and the sun does not always shine. And sometimes, like Knesset Yisrael in the Midbar, we say, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin. Ribbono shel Olam, are you with us or not? So the answer, of course, is He is always with us. And sometimes it's painful, that journey. And it's something innate in the human condition. And by definition, being on Ever Hashem means to come close to God is to struggle. It's interesting, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, same root word as korban. Carbon is a sacrifice. To come close to God is to sacrifice for God. That was Avraham Avinu. He recognized the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we just spent two classes learning about how he brought others close to Hashem and how he recognized him. Was his life a walk in the park, if you will? Was everything always smooth sailing? He was the master of Nisyonos. You're right. It is a painful lesson. And you're right. Hashem does love us. And you're right. It is a painful process at times. But He loves us. And somehow it's for our good. And we know that. And that's what we learn from Avraham Avinu. Ata yadati ki yare Elokim ata. The 10th and hardest test proved that Avraham Avinu never abandoned God. And he was God-fearing. And he implanted that into us, as we have learned. Right, Rabbi Ashir, Hashem is always with us. I just want to finish this, yikes. Whether we realize it or not, He cares about all of our needs. That's what Pinchas wrote in the Sefer. He's the doctor who heals and the father who pays the bills. Even the small, insignificant things Hashem cares about. He sends us little messages all day to show us He cares. Hashem is always with us, even during the times when we do not see Him, writes Rabbi Ashir. Even during the times when we don't see Him, even when a Jew is murdered. At the end of Tafshin Pei, a fine, geschmack, upright Torah Yid is murdered for no other reason. And he's a Jew. How ironic that this week's parsha is Kiteitze, parsha Zachor, Seshar, Salecha, Malik. But He is always there, even when we don't see Him. We must remember Rashi's words, Tamid ani beinechem. I am always amongst you. Umizuma nechol tzarchechem. I am prepared and ready to provide for all of your needs. I am always amongst you. And I can always help you, right, Rabbi Yeshua, with all of your needs. And therefore, says Rav Pinchas, we believe our lives come from Hashem. Our livelihood comes from Hashem. Our children come from Hashem. If you ever can't sleep, like me, if you can, Baruch Hashem, give me some of your menuchas and nefesh and yeshuv adas. But if you can't, remember that everything comes from Hashem and thank Him. List by list, point by point, nakuda by nakuda. Who keeps us alive? Who makes sure our ears don't fall off? Who makes sure your nose is in place? Who makes sure you have a voice to speak? Who makes sure you have food on your table? Hashem. How is it possible not to love the Ribbono Shel Olam? So with that, I wish you a very good Shabbos. I thank our sponsor and her family. It should be a schus for you for many Shabbosos, Arichos Yamim and Shanim with your family. I thank all the women who took time to learn today. I wish everybody a good Shabbos. Thank you.